Is it the land? Is it the people? I can't put my finger on it, but it is unique to the ranch itself. The environment just facilitates, subtly inspires, encourages, coaxes you to step into a different way of relating with yourself and with others.
Welcome to the Dandelion Effect Podcast, a space for organic conversation about the magic of living a connected life. Just like the natural world around us, we are all linked through an intricate web, a never-ending ripple that spans across the globe. Here, we explore the ideas that our guests carry through the world, remember who and what inspired them along the way, and uncover the seeds that help them blossom into their unique version of this human experience. This podcast is a production of the Feathered Pipe Foundation, whose mission is to help people find their direction through access to programs and experiences that support healing, education, community, and empowerment. Welcome back, everybody. I am Andy Van Treese, and this is the Dandelion Effect Podcast. So today's podcast episode is significant, and that's because it's actually the last episode of our show. We are tying a beautiful ribbon on a project that began in the fall of 2020 as an avenue for continued positive outreach and community engagement in the heat of the pandemic. And the Dandelion Effect podcast has far exceeded our expectations, my expectations. And while it's bittersweet, we are moving on to different creative adventures that we are all so excited for. So to wrap this up, we've decided to bring it full circle and give you a compilation episode of a handful of voices from within the Featherpipe Ranch team, an inside-out approach, so to speak. It's an ode to the Feathered Pipe, the changes we've been through over the years, the gratitude for this project, and a chance to hear from staff, board members, and family members why they believe this little retreat center in the forest of Helena, Montana is in fact a life-changing place. We have six guests on today's episode, all weighing in about what keeps them coming back year after year and adding their two cents into where this ship is headed as we look toward the future. But first, I didn't think it would be right to scoot out of here without weighing in myself and answering the question that you'll hear me ask several guests in this episode: how has the ranch aided in your personal evolution? Well, it's been 6 years since I began working in some capacity at the ranch. First having the opportunities to stay for the summer, attend various retreats, and write about my experience for yoga, wellness, and lifestyle magazines in order to help them beef up the online presence and press page. Like many others, that first summer changed my life. India was like a fairy grandmother to me, or a fairy godmother, and I learned an entirely different way of being in relationship with people, overriding my learned behavior of transactional relating and beginning to feel the true interconnectedness, the reciprocation that's pouring through every moment in nature, the truth that we are all worthy and valuable simply for existing. India and the embrace of the ranch community have allowed me to grow into that truth these last 6 years, to believe it, to embody it, to pass it on to other people who have forgotten. As the resident millennial in a conversation on the back deck of the late cabin in 2020, I offered up the idea, what if we do a podcast? But I had no idea how to actually make one. I was just obsessed with listening to them. The following summer, I created Story Mapping, a private one-on-one life interview experience for workshop guests. So between the podcast and Story Mapping, I've interviewed more than 150 people through this work at the ranch. And I've learned several universal truths from the humans I've had the honor of talking with. Most remarkably, that I believe we need the other in order to see ourselves. I'm interested in how people become who they are and the people who are foundational to their sense of self. I ask people, who has been someone who believed in you, who saw something in you before you even knew who you were and before you saw anything in yourself? And this is where I've watched people of all ages break down in tears, remembering teachers, coaches, parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, neighbors, people who were kind to them, who showed them love and respect at a young age, who helped them understand that they were a person worthy of attention. Sometimes people had multiple examples, and many times people had one shining example, one person who extended their reach and shared their love and changed their lives. So when I say that we need the other in order to see ourselves, I mean that we cannot grow alone. As Don Rehm shared in his podcast, the ecology of human beings is other human beings. And the way we treat each other matters. It quite literally creates the building blocks for raising confident, inspired humans who go out into the world with purpose. This is what I've learned from the Dandelion Effect podcast, from story mapping, from being with people these last 6 years at the Featherpipe Ranch, as they gave me a window into their emotions, their thoughts, their dreams, their reasons for living and working in the fields they do, their advice and insights that stem from mistakes and shortcomings, their greatest accomplishments and most treasured moments, their truths and deepest desires for their lives. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on this journey with me, for any words of feedback you gave me, encouragement and excitement for new episodes, for watching me grow in real time as an interviewer and a host, for sharing conversations with your friends and using them for conversation starters on meaningful topics, for telling me which episode struck a chord or even inspired you to come all the way out to the ranch itself. I am beyond grateful to all the guests who are now friends, listeners who are now guests, and to my colleagues, especially Eric Myers and Crystal Water, for believing in me and allowing me the space to discover parts of myself that I didn't even know were in here. So thank you for everything. And as always, please enjoy this podcast episode and help me welcome our first guest, Howard Levin, who was the general manager of the ranch for 25 years and now is the resident storyteller and comedian. Here he talks about the ranch as a spiritual home for many people.
It's had this self-contained energy because of its physical location, because it's in a little valley, and because of India's personality. You know, of course, you knew India, and she had such a magnetic personality. And when she looked at you and you met her and talked to her, you felt like she was your oldest friend and that she knew you better than anybody. And she loved you, you know, and everybody felt comfortable with her and everybody felt connected to her. I mean, she had her own kind of magical power, if you will, you know, to just our friend Caroline from New York used to say she's no threat to anybody on the earth. You know, everybody yeah. can find a place where they're comfortable with India. You open up to her, you tell her things you would never tell anybody else. And she always insisted on this energy of love and kindness and service. And as India used to say, we're not anybody's servants, but we're here to serve. And that energy of the ranch, that spiritual energy, has been there consistently through the ups and downs. The ups and downs have been more like physical things, like financial stress or environmental stress, like maybe there's been some very smoky times, you know, with mm-hmm. forest fires. The spiritual energy has stayed and grown and solidified through the years. And I think that spiritual energy is what draws people mm-hmm. to the ranch, turning people inward. Mm-hmm. That's the real mission of the ranch, is to turn people inward and to find that connection to spirit. And we've embraced all the traditions, you know, the Eastern religion, the shaman tradition, especially Tibetan Buddhism, because we want to promote that spiritual path, that awakening of consciousness. And I see the ranch continuing as a center for that, as a place for people to come to get away from the world for a week, to be in this beautiful natural setting and to do some introspection and to do yoga and to learn how to control their minds.
You're in San Francisco in the off season, and then every yeah. May you come back, and every September you go back to San Francisco. So maybe the reasons have changed over the years, but for you in this part of your life now, what is the draw for you that keeps you coming and saying, like, I'm going to buy that flight again this year? Like, it's not even a question type of thing.
Yeah, because of what the ranch stands for and its transformative effect on people. Just to be in any way a part of that and contribute to it is something I want to continue doing in my senior years until the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is home for me, and I've been here. This is my 38th season, and it's part of me, you know, and it's my family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Crystal her entire life since she was born, and I babysat her when she was an infant and a little child, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year old. And, you know, and it's mm-hmm. coming home to something I deeply believe in, because I think we need good in the world very much. And this mm-hmm. is a very good place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would really say, like, the Feather Pipe Ranch changed my life. A lot of people.
Yeah, and many people. It's their spiritual home.
I'm curious for you to reflect back on how it has changed your life. What would you say to that? Like, if there was, like, a before the ranch Howard and after the ranch Howard.
India and I and her sister VJ, we were on a spiritual path since we were on our early 20s. I was working in the world doing high-end interior design before I came here, and I wanted to do something spiritual. I wanted to promote the spirituality and the traditions that I learned over in India. And when I came here to visit India the first time, which was 1981, only 6 years after it opened, I just felt the energy right away, and it started to pull on me. And I would come back every summer, take a 2 weeks off. So 82, 83, 84, 85, like that, and come back every summer. And I just kept building in me this feeling of, this is something I want to be part of. This is what I really want to do. I want to get out of this worldly career that I'm in. And even though it's glamorous and I'm making good money, I just felt so drawn to the ranch. And I don't even know what it was. It was just an inner feeling that this is where I belong. This is where I should be. Was able to use my design skills, you know, to help improve the facility and work with Tom Ryan and getting all these new things like the dining hall and the teacher's cabin and the remodel of the bathhouse and VJ's house here, which we're now calling Matt's house, you know, renovation of Sky Farm and so many projects I was able to work on besides managing the ranch, but using my design skills to grow the facility so it's better and more comfortable for everybody that comes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fulfilling to know that you've helped to create something that means so much to so many people.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's such a deep sense of, like, true service of, like, wow, I was a part of something that really was transformational to people.
And we struggled for many, many, many years. We struggled being on the edge of the whole thing just falling, you know, into bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think we did the right prayers and the right, put up enough prayer flags over at the stupa. And here we are. We're going along and we're strong.
So
but somehow we just keep going.
Yeah. So what is that somehow?
You know, I think it's a combination of faith and tenacity and determination that India had to see this place carry on and do whatever it took, as long as it was legal and legit and not hurting anybody, of course, but to keep it going, you know? And I think because of her personality, such a unique person, she was able to gather so many good people around her and so many people who helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in many ways, either financially or physically or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
More and more in this crazy world we live in, we need a place like this. We need a place where people can come and unwind and connect to the spirit and do some self inner exploration and learn yoga. I mean, yoga's been around 5,000 years. People used to say, oh, Americans are going to ruin yoga. And I said, no, yoga's going to change Americans. Yoga is more powerful. It's been around for a long time. We're not going to ruin yoga. Yoga is going to change us and make us better.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe in that. I really believe in the path of yoga and the power of yoga, you know, not as a practice, as a spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that this place always continues as a center for spiritual conscious raising activities, be it yoga or health and nutrition or shamanism or whatever, you know, comes our way. But as long as we stay in that direction, and I think we will.
Anne Jablonski. Featherpipe Foundation board president. She speaks of the collaboration between the team behind the scenes, her favorite spot on the lawn, and how her involvement with the ranch has taught her about faith.
19 years I've been coming to the ranch, which wow. I kind of can't believe. 11 on the board, but yeah, 19 years.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, what the heck? Why do you keep coming back? Like, what is the magic?
The sensory banquet that is Feathered Pipe is just so sumptuous, right? I wrote mm-hmm. about this in this blog that I published last week. You know, I go for the sights and the smells and the sounds and the hugs. There's a spot right at the edge of the lawn when you're at the lake, sort of if you're facing the lake, just to the right of the dock, when you can look up into the mountains. And to me, you know, even in a meditation, if you have to go to your happy place, mm-hmm. I'm sitting right there.
I think I've sat with you there before, you yeah. and Pat.
Yes. Yeah. It's the spot. And I know that there's beautiful places all around the world, and I've been to a lot of them, but none of them for me give me that feeling like I'm home. And that was the feeling I felt the very first time I walked down from the parking lot, didn't know what the place was going to be like. And it was as though a whole layer of gripping just disappeared. Watching that happen for other people, I think that's my greatest joy now, is watching people when they get out of the van and they're a little dazed because they've been traveling, and they get out and they go, oh, I'm like, yeah. I know.
Those feelings that never actually get old. For me, nature has a way, certain places in nature have a way of doing that, where it's like, you never tire of seeing a beautiful sunset, or sitting at that place at the lawn, like you said, and like the night sky there is something to behold in an entirely different way. And just recognizing how special it is that amidst all of the other things that we can kind of get tired of and move on from, there are places and there are experiences in life where it's right. always that awe-inspiring.
Even though you've seen that sky before, you've seen those aspens before, it blows this fresh air into your life and your heart. Yeah, there's just nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. What are things that you're really proud of in yeah. that time period, specifically being on the board of the Featherpipe Foundation, which is a 501c3? I think most people know that, but it's always nice to mm-hmm. reiterate and have people understand that the foundation is the root system of the Featherpipe Retreat Center.
Right. I don't know if pride is the right word, but what lights me up is how meaningful it is to be part of a project in collaboration with other people, all of whom, you know, we're all from very different backgrounds, had different careers, practiced different kinds of contemplative practices or yoga, but it's a total dedication to service, and not just the words, but really walking the talk. You know, for years, you know, India, of course, India Super was the organizing principle around which it all revolved. And when she passed away, there was sort of this question of where we're going to be really off balance. You know, if the hub of the wheel is gone, do the spokes just fly off the wheel? And the answer was no. Bearing witness to being part of collaborating with a bunch of people where they all care about service, and how we've been able to navigate this together. I mean, I've always worked, you know, in companies or in government where I always had to work with a team of people, and you work to get stuff done. But there's an amazing way this works when we all come together that I just have never seen anyplace else. You know, when we have our board meetings, you know, there's always things to work through, and, you know, whether it's budget issues or this issue or that issue, but it never gets contentious and full of conflict, even though we don't necessarily all agree at first, but everybody just mm-hmm. puts their eye on what is it we're trying to do? What are our real values? And we end up in a good place. You know, India always talked about it's not just one person. It sounds kind of cheesy, but it's really being part of a high functioning team that genuinely love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody genuinely loves each other. If somebody's got something going on in their life, we're all there for each other. And that spirit extends out to how it is we feel about everybody on the staff and then everybody who walks, you know, comes through those gates under that arch. I think I've become a better person because of that experience. I've become less cynical about the world because part of me thinks that if something like Feathered Pipe can happen, anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's such an unlikely place, right? If you were just starting from nowhere and you said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a retreat center far away from any big population centers that's really hard to get to, that can only operate a few months of the year because of the weather. And that is a monstrous thing to maintain. Yeah. You'd say, no, I'm going to pass. And it happens anyway. I think I told you the story when I first came onto the board. I was walking and I was just getting my arms around, like, how does this thing work? And how do we handle the money? And who does what? And Howard was walking with me, and he's been around, what, since the beginning or nearly the beginning. And he says, so what do you think? And I said, well, I'm new to the board, but I don't get how this works. I don't get how this is possibly sustainable. And he looked at me, says, oh, and it hasn't been sustainable since 1975. We just keep doing it anyway. I can
totally hear Howard saying that.
And I remember thinking, okay, over time, I began to understand how it works. And, you know, in the past few years, especially because working with Crystal, I just feel like I have more insight into, you know, the guts of the system. And she's so grounded, so solid, so practical and so kind that I now feel like I get how this works and how it is sustainable.
It has been built on this hippie dream, as they say. But as the years have gone by, just the years that I've been involved, it really does seem like the essence is still there. But what you all have been able to accomplish between the board and the staff and Crystal and everybody who's involved, that hippie dream is becoming more sustainable. The community has been growing. The number of people coming continues to rise each year for the past few years. I think it's important, like you said, to note that there was so much uncertainty when India passed away because she did start it. And there had never been the Feather Pipe Ranch without India Supra. And so what was going to happen? It's been really beautiful to watch you guys navigate these uncertain waters and come out in a really strong place.
And you can't live off of nostalgia. We can honor the past, but Feathered Pipe has always been about being relevant to the times we're in. And when India started it, it was the Vietnam War. It was, you know, the flowering of American counterculture. But 1975 is different than 2023. And watching people come who weren't part of the ranch in the quote unquote old days, and the old days weren't that long ago, and they still feel that same magic, that same golden thread that's been running through since the beginning, you know, hasn't lost any of its tarnish, despite the fact that, yeah, there's been tremendous organizational changes and structural changes.
Technological changes.
Yeah, like, you
know,
this.
Like this. And, you know, right when I got involved, just timing happened to work out where they were like, wow, we really need to build an online presence. Like, maybe you could help us do that with the writing and the audio and all of that.
Right. Actually, two of my favorite things that have happened in the past couple of years at the Feathered Pipe. One is you coming onto the scene. And I'm not just trying to flatter you, but I'm serious. I can't imagine this place and its spirit without you. But the Dandelion Effect, I remember when I heard we were talking about that, and my first thought was, God, I hope this is going to be okay. And then after I listen, I'm like, wow, not only is it okay, it's great. And, you know, I'm pretty fussy about podcasts and, you know, how people communicate. So you've been one of the biggest, like, happy surprises. And the other was how we managed, you know, it's a more tangible thing, is how we managed to put up that nature deck, which had been something we've talked about. We should have an outdoor practice space. And it was dreamed up, and it happened. We raised the money and it happened. And it's one of those, oh, like, if we're all really stay focused and honest about what we want and talk to our donors about, we'd like to do this. Are you up for it? And there's a big yes. It happens.
Yeah. I would love to hear what you envision for the future of the ranch. What would you like to see continue to grow? What's the vision there?
Those are good questions. Part of it, when I think about where do I want it to go, instantly there's a little voice in the back of my head that starts to laugh at me, because I've always thought the ranch has a will of its own. So part of it is, you know, we can try and push it in a direction and the ranch always wins. Like, no, we're, this is where we're going. True. So part of it is the ranches will be done. That said, where I'd like to see us go, things that we all sort of dream about and we talk about on the board, one is really simple and pretty obvious, is expanding access to all of the programs for more people. The idea that somebody would benefit from one of the programs there, but can't do it because of the cost, is just not okay. So scholarships, I'd like to see the scholarship program grow. I mean, we've grown it a lot in the last couple of years. I'd like to see it grow even more. Money shouldn't stop you from being able to come to a place like that, as far as we're concerned. Fresh teaching voices, you know, with the caveat that, you know, teachers that come need to be able to bring their communities. And but there are so many great voices out there, older voices, middle-aged voices, younger voices, that are these untapped, not necessarily well-known, that I'd like for us to incubate. And I think this is sort of happening organically on this on its own, because you can't force it. Having partnerships and collaborations with other organizations who have values that align with our own. And they don't have to be yoga organizations or necessarily, you know, wellness organizations, but there are people doing work in the world that very much, you know, lines up in a beautiful way with what we care about, and finding ways to work with them. I don't know what it looks like, but usually it starts, you know, it starts with a conversation. You know, there's a number of people we've been in conversation with, and we both said, I know there's something here where we can do something. I don't know if it's that person running a program out there or us doing something with them, but that community part of it and those potential partnerships, I think are, you know, potentially really good for us. So I guess ultimately it's about making the big tent that we've always had even bigger.
Matt Lambie, who is the director of operations in his third year with the ranch. He shares about shifting from chasing money and material achievements to seeking a life of deeper purpose and service, and growing from a place of radical honesty and self-responsibility.
I mean, where it all started was I was looking for more purpose, you know, in the corporate world. Had insomnia for several years, wasn't happy with where my life was at, and left the corporate world and thought, well, what's next and where do I go to recover from a health perspective first? And I always had this affinity for the mountains when I moved to the West Coast, and Montana was always on the mind for some reason. And I was into wellness and yoga before. I Googled, you know, wellness yoga ranch. Feather Pipe came up on the top. You know, thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
As soon as I did the first video call, I knew it was like, that's where I, you know, where I want to be. So going there summer of 21 as a volunteer, and then being all around these people that are so kind and nice, and through the hands-on work that I was able to do was very healing and soothing, like all, you know, landscaping and using tools, that's kind of how I grew up too. I'm so grateful to this day for that. I mean, it changed my life, you know, going there in 21. That first summer, I mean, you know, I remember the first conversation with Ann in the sauna, like it snowed 28 inches in May, met the board president, we're talking in there, and like within 10 minutes, we're talking about guides and how do you meditate and do you tap into your guides? And she's walking me through this to get answers. And so that was the start of the journey. And it was just like all these messages and signs coming through that I, you know, all my life I was ignoring because I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't have a lens to see it or feel it.
Mm-hmm. So you going from, you know, workaholic and being very, and I'm just pulling pieces from parts of your story that I know, but just being very focused and driven on this kind of narrow version of success of maybe, you know, how to make the most money and all the things we're taught about like living a very safe and secure and certain life. The year that you got involved with the ranch, you have also changed a lot of things in your life to now do a lot more traveling. And following your heart more than your head.
You know, I was 0% with the heart when I arrived at the ranch. I don't know what percent I am today, but I've made a lot of progress, definitely more to go. Yeah, it's like the feeling part, the intuition, like the trust, and then like tapping into guides and meditation and asking questions. You get all these resources that are inside you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what that meant before.
Yeah.
So I think that was the biggest thing. And it's interesting we said, you know, chasing money and title and all that. I mean, obviously we know it's ego. And when you said security, you know, I know for me, like I was doing all that because I was insecure.
Yeah.
Right. And so again, stuff I'm working on, you know, I'm part of the mission, like in the future, I'd like to be working with men, and I am coaching people in the men in the corporate world that are lead businesses and own businesses. And at the end of the day, everyone's trying to change your brain patterns. Mm-hmm. You know, these old patterns or the old, like the analogy of the hard drive, and then how you rewrite that, right?
Yeah.
And that takes, depending on how deep the traumas are, the wounds, and I mean, that's what Feather Pipe provides, a place where people can go to either initially first time they're going to dig into this, or they're on a purposeful mission and, you know, figure it out. So that I think that's a big piece of what the ranch can do.
Have there been any really poignant like teachings or teachers along the way that you've been able to have access to?
A specific teacher, I think, is Nat Kendall. And Nat and I connected, and I was asking him, saying about going to do a 200-hour teacher training at that point. And he sat with me, took a book out, went through it. He's like, read this. Here's like, think about this. He's like, here's my email. And I'd email him a couple times. And like, and then when I first met him, I thought, is this for real? I don't even know how to be around people this nice, you know?
Yeah.
And his presence and how he carries himself, like he's practicing it every day, right? Mm-hmm. And again, he's not perfect, but I was like, really? And then I thought after the whole week, I'm like, no, this guy, this is for real. Like, he's embodiment of what he's practicing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big deal to see that also from being a male and leading that way. So that was a stepping stone for me. The hardest thing to do in life is face yourself. The first year I was there, I realized that's something that I've never done. And in the last couple of years, I've learned so much. You know, the veil is removed, and looking at myself, and especially when it comes, you know, being a male in the world and how we show up. And that has inspired me to be better. And then also when I'm ready and the universe tells me I'm ready, how can I share that or help other men in that way?
Yeah, that's really cool. And what I hear in all of that is also just this showing up yourself as more whole, bringing, inviting all the different parts of yourself into the picture, what it means to be a man under like our society's conditioning, and like what it actually feels like to be you and to be a man, and everything that comes with that. And in you doing that, you are giving other people permission to dig into themselves deeper.
I think that's another piece about the ranch now, that is you can be yourself there. You can be your authentic self and no one judges you. We have, you know, I'd say what 95% of our team is returning from last year. And the few that we added are amazing people that came referred through other employees or, you know, family members of the ranch. So I think that shows a lot, and how people are experiencing it from a staffing level, taking the layers of the corporate world away and continually learning how can we move from the heart more when we work with everybody, including staff. And so that's been a great teacher for me.
Amanda Ellefson. She's in her second summer with the ranch as kitchen and housekeeping staff. She graduated from high school in Helena this year and gladly shares how her time at the ranch has resulted in a kinder relationship with herself, role models that inspire her, and a newfound urge to travel the world.
Before I really knew anyone there, I was so mean to myself that I was kind of like mean to others, and I didn't treat myself very well. Through like time meeting people that are like a lot different from me, I started to really like myself and realize there's these things that I've been doing that I didn't realize like are hurtful. And I feel like I've become such a more positive person. I've become nicer. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I still don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I know that I want to be like a positive person. I want to travel and I want to do all these things. And I didn't want that at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah. And what do you think it is that helped you with that? Was it the people that you worked with? Was it guests that you met, like conversations you had? Like, what are the factors that have led to that? It feels like an opening or like an expansion of yourself.
Yeah, mostly it was the people that I had worked with, Luna and Elon and like Ian. And I love everyone at the ranch, and meeting like all these people that have all these experiences, especially a lot of the people that came to the retreats. I really learned a lot from them. And I had a lot of women like open up to me. We would open up to each other some nights. And I'm surrounded by people that teach me new things, and it's really helped me. For a long time, I really couldn't figure out who I wanted to be my like role model. I felt like I don't really know who's like my role model. And then when I came to the ranch, I'm like, everyone. Even though a lot of the people that I work with aren't a lot like me, I think that like everyone's supportive of like everything we do. There's no judgment, and people are open to new ideas, and they want to have conversations with you. And I think that's the most like important part. And also the fact that we're in like such a peaceful place. I've learned that I like meditating, and I never really thought about that before. And life, the universe, something was telling me that like this place is really what I need. Like, yeah. I feel like I have such a different outlook on myself through working there.
I'm curious of how everything that you are learning in the summers working at the Feather Pipe is actually then coming out into the world with you in other times of the year and when you're not at the ranch and all of that.
It definitely helped most aspects of my life. I have a better relationship with my parents now. I feel like I look at everyone as like these beautiful people, and just like I feel like I start loving other people a lot more. People that are there tell me they love it, and they come every year, and it's the best week of the year. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that was the best summer of my life last summer, and I really hope it gets better.
Eric Myers, our jack of all trades, who heads up IT, networking, marketing, programming, and much more. Eric's bond with India began decades ago and is the foundation of his devotion and motivation to keep her legacy and the ranch alive as we know it today.
It's been more of the connection I had with India as a mentor, as well as a big sister, and in some way, not knowing my mother, that I discovered she's basically the same age as my birth mother would have been. So that's really been my connection, as well as my reason for the devotion I have. The important connection that I had with the land was primarily just because of the depth of connection I had with India.
How is it that you came to have such a close relationship with her to the point where, you know, so much motivation and devotion stems out of that relationship?
My wife at that time in 1996 had moved to Montana from Texas, and she was very ill. That motivated me to get into a job, truck driving. Then to keep myself together health-wise, I was trying to learn about yoga, and the teacher that I was with, studying with privately when I was in town and off the road, she told me about the Feather Pipe. And I didn't think there was any way I could afford that with the medical bills we were already dealing with. But she said, well, they give really good scholarships to people from Montana and people with a good story. And she said, you certainly have a good story. So I wrote India, just a handwritten in pencil letter. And she said, sure, come on over. And she gave me a scholarship for $500 for a Ramanand Patel and George Purvis Iyengar Yoga week-long program.
What year was this?
96. I'm pretty sure that was the last year that Ramanand was here, as far as with George Purvis. And Ramanand was one of the one of the first teachers beyond Judith that was at the ranch. So, yeah, and that week changed my life. I had broken my back in college. I was an athlete. I had severe pain. And when I came away from that week, I was pretty much pain-free. So that allowed me to let go of painkillers and also just tolerating an immense amount of pain. And that was huge. So over the years, I continued to come back on a scholarship, told India that I'd worked on teepees, that I used to make them for my own business. I had my own sewing machine and so forth, industrial sewing machine, and that perked up her interest. So I took on actually repairing the yurts, which were canvas at that time and very in bad shape, as well as repairing the teepees. So I did that over the winter exchange for the next year's program. And then from there, it just evolved into me helping in different ways. I'd jump off the road for a week or so and come up and set up the teepees or help with a landscaping project or whatever. And India and I just slowly got closer and closer. Ultimately, Miley died, and India was totally there for me. She knew what I had been through for those 10 years, and she said, you just come up to the ranch, and you stay until you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that explains why India was so important to me, as well as practicing with Patricia Walden, who's the senior most Iyengar yoga teacher. And she got me an invite to study with Iyengar, and then I went to India and was there pretty much for 5 years. And then I came back and knew that India had had health problems and the ranch wasn't in good shape, as far as we'd lost most of our senior teachers, and financially the economy was in bad shape, and the ranch was too. So I offered to get us online, and that's what I did. So that very much accelerated me and India's working together and become closer. Mm-hmm. Between the two of us, really built up the online presence that we have, as well as trying to get the history out there, the incredible history of the ranch and of the foundation and India's story. So that was the project for 10 years until she passed away. And that's one of the things that's really cool, was cool about India. She was so empowering to people that she had, you know, got a sense of who they were just as a person, just what kind of character they were. And if they came to her with a good idea, just like you did, and the willingness to take something on, even if you didn't know anything, or I didn't know anything,
yeah,
but just to have the belief and the inspiration, she would say, do it. That's what every person wants and needs, is someone to say, do it. I know you can do it.
Right. I know you can do it. Like, really having that trust in you and the trust in your abilities, even before you know what those abilities are. Imbuing you with confidence, this person that's looking at you, and you get to see that they believe in you, and it just like builds you up, makes you think, yeah, I can do this. And then usually comes along with the opportunity to create.
Right.
Like, here we are. I mean, so many of the people that I've talked to in the last few years just happened to Google yoga retreats or Google wellness programs, and it comes up, and that's how they find the ranch. Nobody even really understands the amount of work that it has taken and still takes to kind of feed that technology beast of staying at the top of Google. It's no secret that running a place like this takes an incredible, incredible amount of work.
A lot of times the ranch doesn't feel like a job. It just feels like sort of doing something of service and kind of looking around saying, how can I be helpful? How can I be of service to, if nothing else, the simplest thing, put a smile on your face. Maybe I can help that person out. Maybe I can do something to make that person's, you know, burden, whatever it is, a little bit lighter for today. So I think, or at least I'm hoping, that that's motivating a lot of the new generation of people, staff, volunteers, and even guests, why we all congregate and come together at the ranch. It's an experiment of showing there's another way to form community and to organize society and to get things done, to make progress, that it doesn't have to be just, you know, pushing and look at what I've accumulated through my efforts. It's more just a matter of you give and something comes back that's even more so. And we've talked about that, Andy, as far mm-hmm. as particularly during the year we took off, what we were putting into the ranch was coming back tenfold. You mm-hmm. know, the land is becoming very much an experience of proving that, just like nature works, tree grows and how many seeds it puts, you know, pine cones it puts out, and all of them, it's more abundant than it needs to be, mm-hmm. you know. It's not, you know, one-to-one where I give this and I get this transactionally, I get this amount back. It's yeah. a different way of organizing society where I give and I have the faith that mm-hmm. something will come back. And over time, you start to realize more than faith, you have trust. And actually, you see the truth that I give and even more comes back to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's been so much change in the last maybe 4 years within the organization, within the world, within ourselves. I mean, it feels like it's just kind of like expedited. And, you know, when I was talking to Crystal, was asking her about her getting involved is just a huge opportunity to reconnect with the original mission, to reassess how that happens in modern day operating and modern day needs, and then really look forward to what is it that the ranch is continuing to try to accomplish, and who do we want to be as individuals, and how can we come together as an organization collectively and continue to serve. Where is this ship that is not in distress anymore? Uh-huh. Where is it heading? Where would you like it to be heading?
Touching on what I just spoke about, an experiment. And I believe it was that at the beginning. Clearly, they had no money. They had an idea. They said, well, let's go for it. You know, and very much so for India and for the, you know, the original founders. It was the idea that coming out of Vietnam, you know, all the things that were going on in the world, there's got to be a different way to organize society that is more healthful for everyone and more satisfying and fulfilling. So I hope, you know, in what ways I can steer or at least assist in moving us even more so towards being living proof that there is another way, and being able to disseminate that and to get that out there into our community that surrounds as well as the world on a larger scale. You know, as India, I believe one small ripple just spreads out and out and out. Sometimes that's not so clear and tangible, but I do believe it happens. So if we just keep putting that energy out there that no, life doesn't have to be this way. We actually have some ability to manifest our dreams, create something that is more fulfilling for us all, then we've really accomplished and are accomplishing what I believe is our mission.
Crystal Water, the current executive director of the Featherpipe Foundation, who took over responsibility of ED after her mother, India Supra, passed away in 2019. She discusses heart-based leadership and teamwork, being open to receiving support, and trust as the fulcrum of a conscious organization.
When my mom got sick in 2019, she basically just said, here, you got to start taking care of everything. And I just moved in and to take care of her and to try to get certain things organized in her life. The Feathered Pipe Foundation board approached me, as well as a couple of the main players of the, yeah, who were working at the Feathered Pipe at the time. And they said, yeah, is this something you would be interested in doing, becoming the executive director? It sounds interesting, but I don't know if I have the skill set. And so I basically said, let me think about it. And I really want my family to come first. I have 3 children, and I want to make sure that I'm there for my husband and my family mm-hmm. and can really do that. And my mom got sicker and it became clear that she definitely was not going to be able to be the ED anymore. Yeah, I said, okay, I'll take it on. And it was wild ever since that moment. So what was kind of funny is that I realized I literally had been in training since I was born for this job, grew up in the community. I, you know, spent most of my life here at this place and also traveled a lot. So I kind of had this like social grasp of what our community was. And having run my own business, I kind of knew the business aspect. So yeah, since then, it's been quite the wild ride because we went into a huge transition time with my mom passing away and then the pandemic. And so it was just like massive transition.
Well, and I think you've told me one time that like once you started to recognize that your job as the executive director isn't actually to be India Supra, it's to be Crystal Water as the executive director, you know, and like you doing it to the best of your ability and in the way that you do it seems to have like freed you up from expectation of trying to be somebody that you're not, you know, a lot of the similarities because you are obviously family, but of course you're going to do it in a different way and it's going to look different.
That was actually one of the key things, because then I was like, okay, by this point in my life, in my 40s, I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to be my mom. She's a different person. And, but yet there's so much I learned from her, and she carved this beautiful path and made this gorgeous vision of this place and laid this foundation for what we're doing. And then that's like a springboard for putting my own shoes on and going and making some new paths. As soon as you realize, yeah, you can be you, then that's absolutely the most important part about it. And then also, I mean, all of the skills I learned from her and like heart-based leadership and really leading with love. Mm-hmm. And then also people contribute in so many ways, whether it's like, you know, weeding the garden or cleaning, you know, working on the payroll, or whether it's donating things or you doing this podcast, so many different ways each individual contributes. It makes it this like exponential power that you have as a great team. And then that's like when you really know that you don't have to do it alone. It's not, yeah. It's not an individual game.
Right. And I think there's a huge part of that is being open to receiving contributions and support in ways that you can sometimes not even imagine. And I think we really saw this when India passed, is like how many lives she touched and like those people kind of coming out of the woodworks to support yes. the ranch in this next phase. You know, some people say like the ranch runs on hard work and magic. Some people talk about it kind of like mystically as its own entity because it is such a special place to so many people. But I'm curious from your perspective, like what are the components that make this place, you know, different than any other place on earth?
Aside from me having been born there, for me, it's especially special. But I think in general, the land is just incredible. It really is like a vortex. And then it's just surrounded by these massive, beautiful mountains on every side. And then you can walk up and look out over the peaks. So many animals that are there, the birds chirping, the trees, the water, and just, yeah, I guess just that pristine nature is part of it. And then the next component, I think, is really the community that's formed around it. And, you know, people just come, you know, they come there and sometimes people don't even know why they're coming. Sometimes they just show up by accident. We've had so many people, they just showed up by accident or their car broke down. And then some people never left, like Tom Ryan, you know, he had a similar thing. He just came and then he never left. Or my dad, he came to be a cook the summer of 1975 and he was going to come for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And now here he is also like 50 years later. So I think it maybe just draws people in. And then of course, this really crossroads of different cultures, visitors from all over the world. And I think the biggest element of the healing part is just having a supportive community where you can feel that you can be yourself and that you can grow and give your ideas and share our lives with one another. Just have somebody there who cares about you and who hears you. And I think nowadays, especially with so much being online, yeah, I think it comes at the sacrifice of real social connections. And I know you've talked about that in other podcasts, but that was, what did Don Rehm say was the...
Yeah, like the human ecology is other humans.
that's really what we're doing at the ranch, mm-hmm. is making a human ecology. And it's really like the aspen trees connected together, and they're like one huge organism. And I feel like that's what Feathered Pipe kind of does. And so we have all these little limbs, and it's almost like we kind of work together like ants or something, but just like mm-hmm. this really kind of deep connection that you just don't even, you can't even describe it, that you just kind of feel.
One thing that I have always loved about the ranch is how I have never experienced it to be this kind of strict, pretentious spiritual center. Like, the ranch has always just felt so welcoming and such a place that really allows people to be human and to not have to like transcend, you know, the human Exactly. experience in order to fit in and or in order to be accepted. Like, there's so many things that go on that are just like everyday life there. And it is spiritual because I think we're all spiritual beings, but it's like, it's just so real. People are doing yoga in the main lodge, and, you know, the guys in the kitchen are jamming to whatever they're jamming to, and they're making delicious food, and they're like building friendships with each other. And then, you know, after dinner, they're playing frisbee on the lawn, and people are jumping in the lake. And then maybe later there's like a bonfire and they're doing some chanting. So it's just like this weaving in and out of devotion, in and out of exploration. And all of that is on the foundation of like, hey, we're human and this is our everyday lives and we're trying to make it through the best we can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that. Like thinking about the kitchen crew just playing. Well, and they sometimes play music. If they're making Indian food, they might play like Indian music to get in the vibe. It's a community together. And so it's not like there's this separation between, you know, the housekeeping and the guests, you know, or something like that. We're all one, we're showing up, we're doing our thing. And it's not, yeah, it's not pretentious. And then it's not about what you do. It's just about being there together. It's very much based in really the human potential movement and exploring what our potentials are, how we can bring that out in each other. And I know my mom was like a master at bringing that out in people. But we also try to bring out, you know, just in whether it's people that are coming to work at the ranch and they are just coming to cook for a summer, but they might be an amazing musician or they might be, you know, wanting to do something else. And it kind of sometimes is this amazing like starting place and like getting some mm-hmm. skills or getting some social connections or these things and then going off to do something great that really fits on with what they do. Mm-hmm. Or what they're mm-hmm. good at, their talents.
Yeah, it's such like an incubator.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, each person that's on staff, each person that's on the board, and, you know, the people who are involved in kind of a working, serving role, I really believe that they're growing and learning and evolving just alongside the people who are coming from the workshop. So I think there's a lot of room for exploration there and personal growth. And I'm curious, what have been one or two points of your personal growth through this role at the ranch in the last few years?
That's a hard one. I've been really putting a lot of energy into building the team and community, and also realizing again and again, everything that we're doing is really only about our human connection. And that is the key thing that why we're doing any of this. And whether it's that connection that I have with, you know, people who are working at the ranch, or I'm connecting with guests or people we meet online, it's just that deep connection. And I think that that's what, yeah, really what we've been exploring through the podcast too. Also just really trying to look seriously and how you can foster a good work culture and really focus on heart-based leadership and what that really means. And I think once you have that, it's like you can create such an incredible environment for people to work. You can create this incredible place, you know, on every level that feels nice. The vibe is nice. That looks beautiful for guests to come. And it just opens it up to this beautiful way that we can be humans together. And I think also just really focusing on having like our generations together. And I think that's the other cool mm-hmm. thing I just wanted to mention at the ranch is it's like really always been an intergenerational thing. And so whether it's our elders who are there or like the new staff, we've got so many people that are second or third generation coming in and that their parents worked there or taught there. And now they're doing the same or being in a different function. And it's so fun to see the kids, like you said, after a shift, they all run out together. And it's like, I think, oh gosh, how did I get so old that we're the parents of these, you know, these kids that are now finishing up a shift. But I see even in my own kids, how exciting it is for them to be able to have a job and to feel a sense of belonging and value and love. And I think that's what we're doing for staff, for guests, for, you know, everybody within our organization. So
yeah, the rest is like a byproduct of those connections.
Yeah. And really, I mean, really leadership is guiding through change. So we're always in a state of change. And sometimes that's really hard, especially with these big changes that we've gone through with my mom passing away, with like changes in the world. Sometimes we freak out and go, how can we deal with this change? Mm-hmm. And so if you can get yourself calm to a sense of center and go, okay, how can we do this with love? How can we do this as a team? And it's just something that we do together and not alone. We're not mm-hmm. isolated.
Is there anything that I didn't ask about that you want to comment on, or any final thoughts in these realms?
No, I mean, mainly I just want to thank you for so much. I mean, this has been so fun doing this project, working with you through all of this, and help each other deal with change through yeah. this, the pandemic and beyond. So it's been fun. So I just want to thank you and your insight and your beautiful way of interviewing, and just love it. So thank you so much.
I mean, I really think of this project and how it started, and it was like just having so much trust in me from the beginning of like exercising that muscle of allowing yourself to do things you've never done before. You guys giving me a lot of autonomy and freedom to just say like, hey, you know, we trust your judgment. We trust your way of communicating. Like, let's go out and make it. And we're all learning on the fly how to edit, how to find guests, how to choose guests. All of it yeah. was on the fly. For me, I feel like I've had this experience of being able to birth a creative project, and has been a confidence builder in like, I can do these things that I've never done before, like yeah. totally capable.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, that reminds me of a couple of things. One was that actually my mom said, I remember her saying to Heidi when she was, I mean, my mom was actually quite sick and not all the way together, but she would come into the in and out of being lucid. And she just said, yeah, we just didn't even know we made it all up, did we? So we faked it. And that's a key thing. What you mentioned about trust is like really our value and mission too, is really just about trusting that everything's going to be okay. None of us know how to do what we're doing. We're just doing it as we go along. And in each moment of every day, as it comes up in the present moment, trust it and say, let's lean into it. Let's see what's happening and go with our creativity. And that brings you to the next place. And you really do learn these skills and you go, oh, wow, maybe I knew nothing about this in the beginning, except that I trusted and that we trusted each other as a team. And here we are. We did this really cool thing together. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's a wrap. And what a sweet finale it was. Many tears were shed in the editing of this episode. I am in awe of these people who have gotten to call friends, and of this place that literally has the power to change the direction of people's lives. What a gift to be a part of this team. Speaking of team, we added in Jacob Bradley's song, inspired by Sky Farm, as the halftime interlude to this episode. Jacob is one of the second-generation staff members that Crystal mentioned, who came to the ranch as a kid when his parents Kari and Gabrielle worked in the kitchen. And we now have the pleasure of having Jacob on staff each summer. He's a wicked talented musician and makes the best vegan orange cake. Find his music on Spotify under Jacob Bradley to hear more. A big shout out to Matthew Marsalek and the Drum Brothers, whose music you hear at the beginning and end of this podcast, as well as Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolin, who first turned us on to the phenomenon of the dandelion effect and how ideas and people move through the world. This podcast is brought to you by the Featherpipe Foundation. We want to thank everyone who supported the project over the years through donations, ratings and reviews, shares and feedback. We hope the Dandelion Effect podcast delivered inspiration, perspective, and more love into the world through the stories of real people sharing their truths. And we couldn't have done it without you. thank you, thank you, thank you. And from all of us at the Dandelion Effect Podcast, we hope to see you soon.